Last summer, Ned and Rebecca Chalmers took their two kids on a road trip from their home in Kansas City to the Grand Canyon. Their first night, they stopped at a Holiday Inn in Denver, and they were pleasantly surprised to receive a free upgrade.
When I was growing up, I didn't even know you could upgrade a Holiday Inn.
I know.
It was lovely. They had, well, they didn't call it a presidential suite. It was a mayor's suite, because, you know, Denver's, it's a big city. It's big, and they have had some really good mayors. So, you know, it was just lovely.
It was a delight. It really, really was. I mean, not only do we have the usual continental breakfast,
yum,
but we had two mints on our pillow. Two mints.
I've never known
on each pillow?
On each pillow.
We each had two mints.
And what about the kids? Did they get their mints too?
We were kind, and we shared our mints with the kids.
Yeah, you know, they usually don't give mints to kids.
Yeah,
it's a little sugar at night kind of thing.
Yeah. We're usually very parental in that area. Not giving them sugar,
but we were traveling.
It was vacation.
Mrs. Chalmers, you received this upgrade kind of just out of nowhere, huh? They said that they had no more rooms available with two queens,
and we had made a reservation on the computer.
Yes.
Oh, on which site?
Kayak. It's a good site.
No, that's a good site.
Are they a sponsor of your show?
No.
They should.
No,
be.
We get very weird sponsors. I mean, no legitimate business has sponsored our show in years.
Well, they are a very legitimate business.
They are.
They're really great.
We love them. We've just plugged them.
Yeah.
Here's the Chalmers children, Timmy and Tammy.
This room is great, all right? I jumped on the bed like 1,000 times. I felt like I was swimming in the bed. It was so big.
There's so many places to hide. We're playing hide and seek all day.
And I heard that you guys made quite a pillow for it.
Oh, yeah, we did.
That kind of pillow fort you can't make in a two-queen room, huh?
No way.
Uh-oh, we tried. It doesn't work.
Now, Ned and Rebecca, the next night, you hit the road in the morning.
Off to the GC, as we call it.
To the GC.
Yeah, the next night you stopped, I believe, in Utah. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes, that is correct.
Correct.
And lo and behold, another free upgrade.
Another Holiday Inn, another upgrade.
Yeah, and at that point, we were just forced to join their rewards program. I mean, we were just
without the program, so we thought, well, we better join the program if we're getting the rewards.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Now, Timmy and Tammy, I heard that you did something extra special in this suite.
Our parents must be superheroes because this room had a slide from the third floor all the way to the ground.
Wow.
Did you see the pool? Usually the deep end is only six feet. This one was 7.5 feet.
That's pretty deep.
And it was in the bathroom.
This wasn't even like a mayor's. It was, you know, they called it the royal suite.
I believe, yes.
I think Prince Harry stopped there one time, and they built it for, I don't know, but it seems like something Prince Harry would enjoy.
Yes, him and Meghan do love to swim, I hear. I read that in People.
They are swimmers.
And we talked to Prince Harry.
Yes?
Now, there's a Holiday Inn in Roebuck, Utah.
How did you get in the palace?
We're public radio, so we're allowed anywhere. It's public.
In the world. In my palace?
Yeah, we should probably move on from that. let's just assume that I'm allowed here.
You may proceed.
Now, do you remember being in a Holiday Inn in Roebuck, Utah?
Ooh, Roebuck. let me think here. Ooh, Utah. That's one of the states in
the United States,
In the U.S.
Correct.
Yes. Yes, I think I recall I was there.
And you stayed in the presidential suite there, is that correct?
I didn't really care for the term presidential, but yes, I stayed there. I prefer the royal suite, of course.
Now, do you happen to know, I'm sure that you know, you're not really in charge of the financials, but how much you were charged for that room? I'd assume, you know, it normally goes for about $2,000 a night.
Dollars? Oh, well, let me convert that to pounds. I should know this.
We have the receipt right here. It's actually, you were charged $2,200 for that stay.
Good Lord.
Which,
did I pay for that? No, absolutely
well,
not.
Your country did, I think.
That's more like it.
Now, we have this couple from Kansas City, and they paid $100.
Hi, Prince Harry.
Hi, Harry.
Nice to see you, Harry. We're fans.
Hi, Harry. How's Megan?
Oh, she's quite lovely.
Have you gone swimming lately? We love to swim, too.
We watch shoots all the time.
I don't swim much. I don't know if you've noticed my skin complexion. I would die.
You burn quite easily, I imagine.
Do you watch Suits?
I've seen it, yes.
I should tell you, Prince, that that these two accompanied me on this trip. When we checked into the hotel, we got a free upgrade. You guys are the luckiest people I've ever met.
I think so.
I guess we like to say you make your own luck.
It's true. It's This American Lie. I'm Ryan Grass. Each week we pick a theme, bring Ryan stories on that theme. This week's theme, small victories. Celebrating the tiniest victories in life. This week we'll be presenting our show in 4 acts. Act 1, the biggest small victory. The West River Bulldogs high school girls softball team has achieved a bizarre feat. They've won every single one of their games this season by one run. And each victory occurs in the same fashion, bottom of the ninth, 2 outs. Our producer, Sarah Jessica Chastain, visited the West River Bulldogs as they prepare for the state finals.
I showed up in West River on a Tuesday morning. It was sunny, a bit chill in the air. It was early, and I headed right over to the West River Bulldogs field. It's impeccably manicured. Nice grass, nice sand, clean mounds. All the girls were already out running laps. With determination in their eyes.
Come on, sister.
Victory ahead. I spoke to their coach, Paul Smith. So, Paul, where do you think these victories are coming from? Where do you think these last-minute victories are stemming?
You know, there are a lot of inspirational things a coach can say to his team. I usually save those to the very last moment. I'm into what they call a pleasure delayer. So I like to stretch out the pain, and then they just seem to be responsive to what I say every time. Just these few words, I repeat the same ones almost each time. And the crack of the bat comes next, and we always win the game.
Coach Smith, we're almost done our run. Say something, please.
You guys are doing great.
Yay!
Oh my God, yay! Yes! Yes!
So, Coach, Coach Smith, is that the phrase that you've been saying this whole time? You guys are doing great.
Yeah, so I save it for special occasions. Normally, I just say nothing. You know, it's like it's, you know, when a cat walks by. I use this analogy with the girls all the time. They really appreciate it. If you pet a cat all the time, it becomes numb to the petting. If you wait to the bottom of the ninth inning when there are 2 outs, and then you pet the cat, the cat will hit the home run. So
that makes perfect sense to me. That makes perfect sense. I went on, and the first team member that I talked to was Stacy Roundhouse, and she is the team captain. Stacy, I'd like to ask you, you've had so many victories so far this year. Have you started to expect them, or do you still doubt yourself every time?
I never expect a thing. I wait every day for Coach Smith to say those magic words, and I know that I have to hit a certain level of confidence. We have to be almost but not quite there. And then we hear the magic words. I'm even wondering how I'm doing in this interview.
Stacy, if you don't mind me saying, you're doing great.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you. I guess we're done then. Thanks. Bye.
I'm sorry. What did you just do?
Oh, Coach Smith. Hi.
Sorry.
I was just talking with Stacy. She was feeling a little nervous in the interview.
No,
so.
Yeah, but what did you just say to what did you just say to my team?
Oh, I just told Stacy in private that she was doing great at the interview. She was
okay,
a little nervous.
You have to leave.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry. You have to get off my field. no one tells my girls that they're doing great.
I was literally pushed off the field by the sea of teenage girls, and I scuttled my way down the street to the local diner over by the railroad tracks called Track Inn. And I sat at the counter, ordered myself a cup of coffee, and decided to talk to the locals. The West River Bulldogs were huge in the town. Everyone was coming out to all the games to cheer on the Bulldogs to keep their winning streak going. I talked to the waitress there, Carol King.
Hey, look, if you're going to order something, then I'll keep talking, but otherwise...
Oh, I'll just have a black coffee, please.
Black coffee. Great. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
So I just wanted to ask, what has it been like to watch the Bulldogs sweep all these games?
Oh, my God. The town has never been more unified.
Oh, that's fantastic. Were you into softball before this?
Here's another cigarette.
Thank you. Personally, no, I don't really like softball, but, I mean, just the way these girls play, it's like they're giving maybe, like, 70%, and then right towards the end of the game, like, 150% out of nowhere, and then miracles happen.
I wanted to get to the bottom of these magic
words.
Sorry,
did you say black coffee?
Yes, I did.
Okay, here you go.
Thank you. Can I get this to go, actually?
Sure.
I wanted to get to the bottom of why these three magic words from Coach Smith really made such a difference. Such a difference that a small-town waitress that was never even interested in softball would notice the difference between the middle of the ninth inning and the end of the ninth inning. I tracked down Paul's sister, Patty, to see what he was like with growing up. Hi, Patty. Thank you so much for meeting me.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. No, I've never been on the radio before, so I just don't want to mess up.
Patty, don't tell your brother I said this, but you're doing really great. Okay?
Okay. You need to leave right now.
What?
No, you don't understand.
Patty, but why?
You need to go and close the windows, lock the doors.
Okay. Are you going to be okay? Should I call someone?
No, I'm not. No, don't call anyone.
Don't call
anyone. Just save yourself.
Just go?
Save yourself. Go now.
I should go. Okay. Okay. Well, I left in a hurry. That didn't go very well. So I went to the local grocery store that was very close to Patty's house. And I decided, you know what? I'm just going to find the general manager, because in a town like this, this general manager has been here his entire life, and he knew Paul here growing up, and I was going to get to the bottom of that. So I found the general manager of Save Away here in the town, and I asked him if he happened to know Paul.
Oh, yeah. I remember Paul. Yeah, of course I remember Paul. It's not a big town, but I remember him as a kid. Did a real pretty good job. You know, then normally, near the end of a shift, I'd just turn to him and go, "Hey, Paul, you're doing great. I have to get out of here."
No, excuse me.
No, I have to leave.
Excuse me. No, wait.
No,
just one more minute.
No,
I
have to go. I have to go. Yeah. Get the cashier to ring up your groceries.
The man literally ran away. I didn't even have the time to get his name. He literally ran away and jumped in his car and sped away. So, but it seems to me that these words came to Paul and had a big effect on Paul. And he then turned it around and used it on other people and allowed it to have a large effect on them. So, who else was there when Paul was working at the grocery store? His mom. So, I did my duty, and I tracked down Paul's mom, Paula Smith. Miss Smith, thank you so much for meeting
me.
Yes, you have a wonderful family. I talked to Patty. She's super sweet. I talked to Paul. Very very kind. I mean, congratulations. Yes, very congratulations on all of Paul's success as a coach. That's really fantastic.
Oh, have you met our little beagle here, Scooter?
Oh, hello, Scooter. Yes, hello.
We're very proud of him, too.
Yes, he's got a lot of gusto. So I wanted to ask you, where do you think all of Paul's success and the success of his, Scooter, of his team?
Scooter, relax. Okay, down, Scooter.
I was at the diner. I probably smell like bacon.
Scooter, you're not great.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, where were we?
I was just wondering, where do you think that all of Paul's success is coming from? And you have a very large cat as well. Oh my goodness, you're a big animal family, aren't you?
I'd advise you not to look directly into its eyes.
Is that one of those beta things or whatever those, bengal?
That's a fish.
Bengal?
Oh, bengal tiger.
Is that right? The like small tigers?
It's a mini bengal.
Yes. Bengals are the big ones. I'm sorry. Whatever the ones are, it looks like a tiger, but like a small tiger.
Her name's Furry.
Hi, Furry. So I just won't look. Sorry to take up so much of your time. I'm just wondering where you think Paul's success comes from.
Furry, you're not great. I'm sorry about that.
Wow.
Paul's success.
I have to go. Thank you for your time. I have to go. So I was on my way. I went to track down Paul. I wanted to face him again, apologize for basically stepping on his toes, using his obviously very powerful phrase without his permission, because the girls were set to play and I didn't want to be responsible for breaking that chain. Excuse me, Paul? Yes, Paul?
Sorry, you got to keep up.
Paul. Sorry, I got this mic and I got this bag and these these ballet flats aren't as comfortable as they look. But anyways, so Paul, I just wanted to tell you that I'm really, really sorry about what I said earlier. I didn't mean to step on any toes. Sorry, this is just really hard for me. I didn't mean to step on any toes or
are you about to quit? Are you about to lose this?
I can't. I'm thinking about maybe we'll just wait until after.
Yeah, well then you should just quit.
But I really need to tell you that I'm sorry because I don't want to be responsible for the girls losing if I mess up their the way they were thinking.
Hey, you're out of breath, but you know what?
What, Paul?
You're doing great.
Oh my God. Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Thank you. Oh my God, this feels amazing. You don't want to take my shoes off. I don't need these shoes. Paul, thank you. Thank you. Oh my God. Thank you. I see what it is now. I see it. You guys are going to have a great game. And you're going to win. And you're going to win at the exact same time that you always do. And I'm sorry.
What time is it?
It's 2:45. 2:45 in the afternoon. It's 2:45 p.m.
We had a doubleheader. We're starting to play at 8 o'clock.
Tonight? What?
The early game was 8 a.m.
Oh my God. So you guys, wait, what? So you guys have just been running? You guys have just kept running because of what I said? You guys were just running this whole time and you missed the game or I missed the game? Did you miss the game?
Sorry, we made it all the way to East River. How are we going to get back to West?
Oh my God. I don't know. What do they do if you're not there?
You lose the game.
Both? Both of the games? I'm sorry, I don't really watch a lot of softball.
Even the one that hasn't started yet. I'm sorry, miss. But you're not... You're not doing great.
Hey, coach, neither are you.
What? Yeah.
What's that?
We got something to say.
Yeah. It was your responsibility to make sure that we got to the games.
Wait, now, I'm under control. Now, what's happening here? Just calm down.
What's happening is you're not doing too great.
You're not doing too great.
Get off of me.
You're not doing too great.
That's going to rip.
You're
not doing too great.
You're not doing too great.
There was nothing more shocking than seeing a giant crowd of giant teenage softball players surrounding their one coach, who, after meeting his mom, I realized never really had a chance.
Every morning I look in the mirror and tell myself I'm doing great. But then I realize that's just a framed photo of Bea Arthur. Up next on This American Lie, just enough victories. That's my turn. Our program continues on This American Lie. Please stay with us.
This American Lie is brought to you by Passion Journal. Get your passion every day by writing it down so you won't forget what makes life worth living. Passion Journal.
It's This American Lie. American guys need to be a theme, bringing writing stories on that theme. This week's theme, Small Victories, Act 2, Just Enough Victories. The Investoroos are a group of casual investors in new products and businesses. A lot of their investments fail, but just enough of them succeed to turn a profit. It's the end of the year, and the Investoroos are currently in the red. Our producer, Roger Del Turnbro, has bought in and joins the Investoroos as they try to land one final investment to get them in the black for the year.
Now, I would think that maybe you just invest in something safe, you know, like an Amazon or an Apple, something that'll go up, right? I mean, that would be a sensible way.
No. We don't invest in huge conglomerates, things that already happened. We get in on the ground floor on something cutting edge that no one's heard of before.
That's Chuck Slotnick. He's the founder of the Investoroos.
Yeah, we're all about what's new, what's big, what's going to change the world, okay?
Hey, Chuck, I got something interesting here.
Well, bring it on over.
I just thought you wanted to see this.
Brian Kilgallen, the vice president.
I found this guy. He's making shoe knees.
Shoe knees?
Knees for your shoes. Thought you'd maybe want to take a look. Here's all the papers.
You wouldn't expect a collection of motley, blue-collar, working-class Joes and Janes from a Midwestern town in a square state to be this concerned about, well, what's the next cutting technology? What's the next booming stock? But you don't have to be in Silicon Valley to want some of that Silicon money.
I got a second, but if I don't come up with an idea the next hour, it's going to be my neck, you know?
I'm talking to Pete Garrison. Pete is the newest member of the Investoroos, and traditionally the newest member, or the mark, is the guy who has to come up with the last investment of the year.
Yeah, I'm hoping to pull this one out. You know, during my interview, I talked about Elbert's, which is shirts for your elbows, and it blew everyone away. So,
is that product out already, or I haven't seen it anywhere?
It's in development. You know, we can't really get into it. So, we're really thinking out of the box. We're trying to change the world here. You know, we got Elon Musk. He's got his avenue, and we got our own thing. It's a very specific thing.
But you're not creating stuff, right? You're just you're kind of the venture capitalist. Like you're to use the analogy you made, you're the person putting money into Tesla. You're not the guy sending cars into space, right?
Exactly. But which is the horse and which is the carriage?
I think you're the horse.
That's right.
Having been reassured, I knew a thing about it, investing and stuff. I decided to talk to Jackie Peterson. Jackie, known as the girl, is one of the only women involved in the thing. But her opinion is highly valued by the group because her insights are kind of a different perspective.
Hey, Raja. Very nice to meet you. I only have a few minutes here. I'm very, very busy. I'm developing something called the Flate. It's a plate for your face.
You know, it's interesting. You're like the second person who's actually pitched a product instead of actually finding one to invest in. It seems like a lot of you are kind of your own sort of investors.
We are innovators here, Raja. We come up with ideas. We're very bold. We're not afraid of anything.
Oh, so that was the Flate?
The Flate. That is correct. That is P-H-L-A-T-E.
Great. So Are you going to try to persuade your fellow members to...
I don't have to persuade anyone. I come in, I own the room, I show them the flate, and they go bonkers.
And this is your product?
Yes, this will be... I draw it up, I do a little drawing, and, you know, I find myself some college kids or whatever I need, you know, mock up a little template, mock up, if you will, mock up. Mm-hmm. You got to mock it up before you fuck it up, right? So, you know, I do that and then I come in, I present it and, you know, they basically just throw money at it. So
this was the second investoroo in a row who would come with me with a product pitch rather than an investment pitch. The question of the horse and carriage seemed a little more pressing.
Look, I got a team of rock stars here, okay? We, together, have invested in and created thousands of products, all right? For example, let me just blow your mind for a second.
All right.
Toe tips. They're fingertips for your toes.
Who would wear those?
I don't know. Someone like you?
No. I would not wear toe tips.
Okay, so you're the wrong demographic. Don't shoot me here. Well, you know, toe tips can work for anybody, really, all right?
I became increasingly suspicious as to how this team had managed to just break out ahead a little bit every year. While that left room for failures, surely there must have been some successes. And did they ever actually look at other people's stuff instead of their own harebrained scheme?
Yeah, so this is where we do market research. We pay everyone $25 checks to come in for 4 hours of their time, and we show them projects and products, and we show them videos that are designed very well by the top leading graphic designers and motion graphic artists, and then we get their point of view, and from then on, we decide if we launch or not.
Okay, Pete, that's for $25 an hour you get all that?
We give them a $25 check at the end of the 4 hours. So if you break that down, if you divide up 25 by 4, then you get your answer per hour if you're interested in
625.
That's right.
Once again, I impressed Pete with my ability to come up with the correct answer to something. But I still wasn't quite clear on this audience research, how this Elberts and flates and toe tips were going to make these people any sort of money.
You just put it on you. So you put the chahair on your. It's you got to sit on it, but it's on your head. All right, ma'am. You just turned it around. There you go.
Am I doing it right?
Yeah. You just put the chahair. You sit the chahair.
It's pulling on, at it. Ah. Ow. Is it supposed to burn?
Did you see the video?
I watched the video.
You saw the graphics?
I'm having a hard time translating it into the real world.
So would you say this is a 7 or 8 experience?
Does it have to be one of those two?
That's usually, it could be 7, it could be 7.2.
Is there blood from the scalp? Is that usual?
I'm not a doctor.
He wasn't a doctor, and I wasn't quite sure he was an investor either. I figured someone here had to have an answer, so I went to the one person I hadn't talked to much, Brian. You don't seem to have the same kind of wild pitches that a lot of your fellow investoroos have.
Hmm. Strange you would think that. You know, I'm less of a thinker and more of a doer, you know?
Okay, so I don't understand how this investing...
I get it. You're a little confused.
I'm very
all these harebrained ideas.
Horses
where are we
and
making
carriage.
Our money?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point, right? Every year you come out a little bit ahead, but
I got one word for you.
What?
Okay. I want you to listen real close.
Okay.
Snockles. Or socks for your knuckles.
Those sound like Elberts.
No, they're nothing like Elberts. They're snockles, and they made us a fortune in the first quarter, okay? And we've been sailing on that money ever since. And yes, of course, everyone here is trying to come up with the next snockles, all right? Is it Elberts? I don't know. Is it a chair? Maybe. But here's the thing, is that you can't replicate lightning in a bottle for success. It's right there on that poster that I made behind my desk.
Do you ever think of selling that poster?
That you can't replicate lightning in a bottle for success poster?
Yeah.
I mean, No, I just kind of made up the mocked
would,
this
would you
one
mind
up.
If I like maybe came up with that poster, maybe pitched it and maybe
to the ruse?
Yeah, the ruse, I think, you know, I am a temporary member. I need to come
yeah,
up
you
with
you bought
something.
In, you're a member, man.
Yeah,
so.
Okay.
I put in all the R&D, you know, I downloaded a free trial of Photoshop and kind of pooped that out. So, but you can take it. Sure. Take it to him. I mean, it's no Snockles. But.
All right. I don't have a lot of time here. So, let's see what you got, Roger. All right. We got a lot of stuff in the works. Okay.
Check out this poster. Check out this poster.
What am I looking at here? Success, something.
Lightning in a bottle.
Lightning in a yeah. bottle. I mean, what's the twist here? What's the angle? I mean, when we came up with belly buns 3 years ago, like that's...
Those were the small little cupcakes that you put in your navel?
No, they were the tiny blankets that only cover your stomach. It's like a cushion blanket.
Oh, I was thinking of the Danish button.
Are you taking this seriously or not, all right? Either you're here to invest or you can walk out the door, all right?
I want those posters. I want those posters everywhere. That will put us in the black for the year. And whatever Pete comes up with his cockamamie ideas, the Elberts, that'll do it. I got inspired.
Chuck, sorry to interrupt. I just want to make sure that we're on for our 3 o'clock for the swoob. That's a sweater for your boob.
Wouldn't miss it.
See you then. I'm going to destroy you, Roger.
This is a competition?
Look, you might think I'm an idiot, but I'm not. If you want to get the best out of your team...
I didn't say you were an idiot.
You've been giving me a look the whole time, all right? People have underestimated me my whole life, okay? That's why I created this company, to prove people wrong, okay?
Chuck, I got great news. We did it, dude. We did it. We're in the black. We made it. You know what did it?
Oh, my God.
The Hatgina.
The Hatgina?
Yeah. I knew the whole time. I knew it.
You know what? I didn't think anything would come of it.
You said it was a bad idea.
I rolled the dice on that one. I'm going to be honest. I'm proud with you. I'm real proud of you.
Thanks, man. I'm going to go tell the team.
Yeah.
So maybe I made a mistake in thinking that this small-town, small-time group of investors were somehow different from those big mucky mucks in Silicon Valley or Wall Street. Maybe all any of us are looking for is a chance to make it rich, really easy, with one brilliant idea. And all it has to do is an article of clothing for a body part that never had one before.
I invested in Apple in the early 80s, but it was a green apple, and it rotted. Didn't even get to eat it. Man, I really, really wish I could have eaten that apple. Up next in This American Lie, one small victory. That's when our program continues, so please stay with us.
This American Lie is brought to you by Raisin Bran. When you're ready for two scoops of regular, reach for the Raisin Bran.
It's This American Lie, Myron Grassi's Week Week Theme. We bring everybody stories on that theme. This week's theme, small victories. Our third act, one small victory. Journalist Pavel Hardmilk was having a particularly terrible few years. He hadn't sold a story in a while. He was broke. He'd been through a bad breakup. He'd had to sell his car. Until he found a lucky dime in the gutter behind the Arby's dumpster where he'd passed out. And that changed everything. Here's Pavel.
Nothing had been going my way for a long time. 37 years, 2 months. Till I woke up behind an Arby's. I'm sorry, Arby's. They say sometimes fortune smiles upon you with the presidential face. And that's exactly what happened. I woke up in my own filth, reached down, saw a dime next to a four-leaf clover and a white cat. It just stopped raining, and there was a rainbow. And a lottery ticket in that alley. Unscratched. I took the dime and I scratched off one leprechaun, two leprechauns. I scratched off the third leprechaun, and it was a jackpot.
Yeah, I remember you. You came into my store. You said, I got a winning ticket. I was so excited because I'd never had a winning ticket before in my store.
John's known me for years, and he knows I've been down on my luck since the divorce.
Yeah. And it's our little thing that every time I see you, I go, yeah, I remember you. Because remember the first time I saw you after the first time, you were like, do you remember me? I was like, yeah, I remember you. And then that's been our thing ever since.
Hey, John!
Hey, I remember you. It's my thing with everybody.
John was my best friend. I felt like this was the person I could confide in and confide. I decided to split the winnings with him. Right then and there.
It was the nicest thing that anybody had done to me, man. You know, I had never had a friend like you, Pavel, and, you know, even my mother doesn't even respect me. And here you are. You give me half the winnings. I went out and I bought a boat. That's a good boat. I spent half my year in that boat.
With the $8,400 that we split, he decided to take his winnings, quit the business, and sail the seas. How far are we from land right now, John?
Oh, about a mile. Pretty close. It's a tiny little dinghy. I can't take it too far out, you know.
This is it, man. You're living the life. This is the freedom we've been talking about. Remember all those, well, I would have these conversations.
You can hear the beach over there, see?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Hey, John!
Hey, I remember you!
And sure, newfound wealth, everyone comes crawling, wanting some. Exes, family. Everyone's your best friend now.
Pavel, good to see you.
That's Johnny, my old lawyer.
You know, I got you off that loitering conviction. It was a little pro bono at the time. You know, lawyer gives a little money for free and time for free. You know, there's nothing wrong with giving someone something for free. You know what I mean, Pavel?
I mean, he was right. I was facing 5 and only did 90 days.
So, if you find yourself with a couple of loose bucks, you can find my office in the usual place over by the bus station.
He then twisted his mustache and left.
Time for some Arby's.
Ex-girlfriends, hadn't even thought of in years, all coming out of the woodwork.
Pavel, hi! Oh my god, what are you doing here?
Hi, Jania.
Hi. Oh, I didn't know that you still came here every day. What a crazy way. It was a crazy place to run into you. Your favorite coffee place. Weird. So weird.
Look, you're here. Are you still repulsed by my presence?
No. What? I didn't mean that. I was on these crazy diet pills. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. So what have you been up to? What's new? Is anything new? Has anything changed, like, in your life? Or what's new?
Hey, to be honest, I mean, since you've been honest, I actually won some money. And I'm trying to figure out what to do with it.
We got a latte here for John. Is there a John here? John? Is there a John latte for John?
Oh, hey, I remember you.
Hey, John.
How's it going? Thanks for the latte. Oh, hey, Pavel. I remember you. See ya.
Anyways, I didn't know that. So you won some money? What? I didn't.
I won a lot of money.
Really?
It's a life-changing amount of money, and I'm just trying to decide what to do with it.
That is surprising. Well, I mean, what are you doing now? Are you free? Should we sit down and talk about this right here, right now?
Sure. So first of all, we talked for hours, and it was weird. It was just like, we were 21 again. She looked exactly the same. She wanted to talk about my future and what was right for me and how she could help if I would only entrust her with certain things. That sounded like really good advice. But someone else wanted to talk to me.
Hey, a big bro.
Hey, John.
You know, we don't bond much anymore, you know? We should hang out. We should do something, you know? We should, like old times, like, you know.
John, my younger blood brother, we cut our fingers when we were four and became siblings.
Now, I don't mean to just, you know, throw my problems on you, but, you know, I've been going through a bit of a hard time.
Hey, other John.
Hey, John, how you doing? And...
Hey, Dave.
Pavel, don't make me grovel. I need some cash. Do I have to beg you?
No, absolutely not. You're my blood brother, and I have more than enough to share. How much do you need?
I need about 10 grand.
Okay.
How much did you win?
I won a lot. I won $4,800.
Damn. I'm gonna need more than that.
And he left. He just walked right out the door. And at that moment, I realized, wow, money can be both a blessing and a curse. So I went back to that alley to return the money from whence it came. There was some shrubbery had grown over the clover. The dime was no longer there. It was a penny torn in half. I decided to lay down with my winnings. And I started covering my body in dollar bills that I exchanged at the Bank of America prior to going to the alley. This money was no good, and I wanted it gone. And I laid there until someone must have been concerned.
Pavel? Oh my God, Pavel, what are you doing here?
John, don't look at me like this. I'm trying to...
What's wrong with you?
Pavel, hey,
John, would you...
Pavel?
John, just keep walking, please.
Hey, John.
I remember you, Paul.
What's the stuff on your face?
Is that John?
John.
Oh, Johnny.
Hey,
John.
I remember you guys.
I remember you.
I'm trying to solve this thing. If you would just leave me be for a moment.
But, this money's just lying here. Could I?
It's going to blow away.
Yeah. I need to recreate what got me here. Someone get me some milk.
Milk?
Okay, well, I got a...
Does Arby's even have
milk? I got a little milk in my pocket.
They have milk. It's off the secret menu. Get me some milk.
Wait, secret menu?
You got a secret menu at Arby's?
I didn't know it was one of them.
Yeah, but he's got milk in his pocket.
I got pocket milk if you need
it. You have pocket milk?
Why?
Is it like that bagged milk from Canada?
Nah. It's loose.
I got this product you should have for that. It's called an Elbert.
Wait, so your pocket is just soaked with milk? It's slowly soaked.
They didn't even notice as I picked up the money and walked away. They kept arguing and bickering.
Well, the milk is just in his pocket.
No, it's not. It's,
I still don't understand.
A pocket's a container.
Wait, does it turn into yogurt?
You wait long enough,
no matter how much money you have.
You don't really have milk in your pocket. Your pants are just soaked with milk. You have milk-soaked pants. You have milk pants.
You can't like solve water-repellent milk?
Humanity's milk? Natural state.
Are we supposed to wring it out? Are we
no,
supposed to wring it? Is it curdling?
You just suck on it.
What is the temperature of this milk? Can't possibly be sanitary.
Wow, that was inspirational. I've never won the lottery, but you know, maybe someday. Up next on This American Lie, Victory Day. That's when we return on This American Lie. I want to bring up these, please, for the love of everything that you hold dear. Stay with us.
This American Lie is brought to you by steak sauce.
This American Lie by Chris. Each week pick a theme. Finger eye stories on theme. This week's theme. Small victories. Our fourth and final act, Victory Day. The first Brooklyn Militia was a group of unenlisted soldiers who hopped on a boat and headed over to Europe to illegally fight the Nazis in World War II. They got there just as the war was ending, but they did have one small victory on the shore of Western France. A young documentary filmmaker captured the whole ordeal on film, a film which our producer Dean Halloran presents today. Here's Dean.
Look, nobody likes Nazis, all right? But this film captures a ragtag group from Brooklyn, all right? A militia, a David versus Goliath tale, you know? A group of men and women who were convinced that they could bring down the Nazis. This film blew my mind. It's just their courage, but also their bad timing. I for one, am inspired by their tale. And at the same time, it's just tragic that they couldn't really come to... their journey never really came to fruition. I'm going to roll a clip from Johnson Teeter's documentary. Here is the opening sequence.
Okay, yous guys. All right, here we are. The date is May 1st, 1945, and the first Brooklyn Militia has arrived here on France to save this whole continent from the Nazis that are doing a lot of bad stuff. So we got this.
This is ours, baby.
Yeah, so let's go. We're going to go out there. We're going to get some sticks. We're going to take some marbles and throw them at them. We're going to give them some egg creams and dump them on their heads. And they're going to see what's what with Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Sticks and egg cream. The balls that this group had. I mean, can you imagine taking on just Hitler and his army and just the firepower that they had with some sticks, some marbles, and a nice old-fashioned egg cream? That's seltzer water and chocolate syrup, for those of you not familiar. A drink that... Why is it called an egg cream? Would anyone drink it? It kind of sounds good, but when you taste it, it's not. I digress. We're going to go ahead to a little bit later in the film here. Once the Brooklyn Militia got to Europe, discovered that the war was over, they got bored. They didn't know what to do. They didn't have money to take a boat back to the U.S., so things got a little heated between them.
Okay, you guys, apparently Hitler shot himself a couple weeks ago.
Oh. What? Are you kidding me?
I just heard it happened while we were on the boat.
Vinny called dibs on shooting Hitler.
Well, you
Does
know
Does he
what?
Not respect dibs, or what's the deal?
Hitler did not respect dibs. I don't know if you heard. He was not a good guy. But so, apparently the Nazis have surrendered, and so I don't know.
What am I going to do with all this egg cream?
What?
Yeah.
It would be a nice drink. It's going to be summer soon. It's going to be hot here.
But the fizz is gonna go.
We'll refizz it.
You can't refizz an egg cream. Rule number one, egg cream.
And I brought all these sticks all the way from Brooklyn.
Well, they're Brooklyn sticks. They don't have Brooklyn sticks here in France, you know. Look, we still got something to do to Brooklyn. We got to...
I gotta beat up a something.
I know. I mean, I feel like I'm gonna go nuts from the not beating up, you know?
Oh. You know they don't even got gravy here?
What?
Yeah, they got white sauce.
What the?
It's got butter in it and shit.
What?
What?
What are we gonna eat?
I don't know. I mean, do they have a good pastrami here?
They got nothing like that.
What? Why I oughta?
Why I oughta? The group imploded from there. They became so frustrated with the ways of the Europeans and the French, and it was a real culture clash at a time that was already, in shambles. But there was a glimmer of hope. For the Brooklyn militia found a second life in Paris as a ragtag group of vigilantes, if you will. They went around fighting crime. Superheroes before superhero was even a term. This is towards the third act of the film. Some would say this is probably like the peak action sequence of a documentary. Let's take a listen.
Hey, wait a minute. What are those Frenchies saying, Peaches?
I don't know, Paul. I don't feel very good about it, though. I feel like they're looking me up and down. I feel like they're saying something bad about me. I think they're saying something about my hair.
Hey, you know what? These people couldn't stand up to Nazis. They sure as heck can't stand up to a couple of people from Brooklyn.
I'll get my sticks.
I'll get my egg creams.
But it's flat, Paul. It's probably flat.
Pardon, vous avez des fumées?
Fumé?
Oh, God! Oh, no!
And your friend, too!
Merci!
Seltzer, no ice, because we're in Paris.
Take a shower, Frenchie.
Sure. Tensions between the U.S. and France got really rocky for a few years after that. But isn't that what America's about? No matter where we are in the world, we don't like to be told what to do. We like to have it our own way, all right? No one stands up to us. We stand up to them. So in a way, the Brooklyn militia took a little piece of Brooklyn with them.
Hey, Dean, here's your egg cream, buddy. This one's on the house, all right?
Thank you. Now, for my listeners here, I'm going to try an egg cream for the first time in a while. Watching the film really made me kind of crave one. But, let's see how it tastes.
Oh,
it's just like watered down chocolate milk. Henry, I don't want this.
What do you mean you don't want it? I gave it to you as a gift.
What, he doesn't want his egg cream?
He doesn't want the egg cream.
Peaches, get in here!
I'm gonna get my sticks.
I'm gonna get my egg cream.
All right, militia, attack.
It's like I'm watching the movie all over again.
Why I order?
I tried to join the Navy, but they wouldn't let me. Alright, that'll just about do it for This American Lie. This American Lie is produced by Sarah Jessica Chastain, Roger Del Turnbro, Pavel Hardmilk, Dean Halloran, Robin Capistan, Dan Heber, Mike Hughes, Janelle Banish, Micah Gordon, and of course, the Big Boss Man, Mr. Toy Mattia, who saw a movie he couldn't stop talking about last week.
Hey, John!
I remember you.
Stay tuned for more episodes every month of This American Lie.
Hey
guys, Micah here from This American Lie. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. And if you like our show, go ahead and subscribe to us on iTunes and rate us too, and tell your friends and do all kinds of different things. You can also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at This Amer Lie, AmerLie. Bye.